It's time for the gardening show.
I have a European beech tree.
I've got one, too, and I dearly love it. So.
Oh, I love it, too. I hug it once in a while. Sounds silly, but what the heck, you know.
Never hurts.
Got a question for your gardening expert, Dr. Dean Crosscough? Call 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957.
I have a rose bush, and it is 52 years old.
Horticulturist Dr. Dean Crosscough is your host on the program, filled with helpful information on lawn care, tree problems, gardens, crops, pests, everything and anything gardeners need to know.
I'm hoping that maybe I can get it moved without it dying.
Dean spent almost 30 years teaching horticulture at Michigan State University, and he served as the integrated crop management agent for Southeast Michigan's MSU Extension Service. The Gardening Show and your calls coming up next on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Crosscough.
Welcome to another edition of the Gardening Show, and if you'd like to join our conversation, give me a call. 1-800-859-0957. Or you can email me, and today I think I can get to Jeff from Port Huron. Had a question about mulch on strawberry Sue in Belleville, weeds in her flower beds. Leanne in Northville, I think I've got the answer for your worms on your pyracantha. And Ed from Britain and the mystery plants. And Susan from Rochester, all of which you can email me at wjr.com/thegardeningshow. Down below the soil moist ad, our logo, and the Bonide logo. And I'll try to get to your question as soon as I can on the air. Right now, though, if you haven't drowned, you know, for a while there we were worried a little bit about too little water. Now I think it's all of us are saying enough is enough. How about giving me a call? 1-800-859-0957. The other thing is, if you check my website, again, wjr.com/thegardeningshow, about Wednesday or so, before I update, we add information on questions that come in, obviously, but also interesting information that I think is important. And one of the most important ones, for those of you who are growing any of the cucurbits, and that includes cucumbers, pumpkin, squash, that whole group. Downy mildew has been confirmed here again in Michigan. It's early this year. The weather has just been very conducive for it, which means that we really need to start a spray program. And Dr. Mary Hausbeck has some information on that website that I put a list on mine to control it. It's chlorothalonil. The reason I put that on is that, okay, my three cucumber plants in the backyard, and the scheme of things are not very important. However, Michigan is either the third or the fifth largest producer of pickles in the United States. All those McDonald's hamburgers have a good number of them and Michigan pickles on them. If we don't control, we being home gardeners, don't control this disease in our gardens, it can spread very rapidly to the commercial fields. And then we're talking about massive losses. So we're all in on this. And please take a look at that. Again, the WJR.com, /thegardeningshow. And let me give you the phone numbers. The lines are open, and usually by this time we're just, again, everybody's starting to mold out there. 1-800-859-0957. And if you had, this is the opportunity. And I especially invite you, if you're a first-time caller, in other words, you never called in, the pleasant voice that you'll hear on the other end of the line is Shannon Maley. And just to thank her and, of course, Rich Lubezinski, who is our board op today and executive producer. Without you two, we couldn't do this show, or I couldn't, definitely. I'm not allowed to press buttons, and there's good reason for that. So talk to Shannon. She's very pleasant. 1-800-859-0957. The other thing I'm putting on the one of the things I'm putting on that website in the coming week is a great article from Dr. Kevin Frank about white clover control in lawns. Now, white clover, okay, those of us who, some people add it onto your lawn grass, and some of us, you know, it depends on what you like. I think the important thing with this article, the one that struck me, was Dr. Frank's approach, Kevin. His approach is don't just grab for the sprayer or whatever you use to control weeds. Step back and think a little bit about why weeds are there And one of the important things is, especially this year, is that we're just running out of fertilizer. The grass is slowing down, and one of the things that you'll find is that over the years, it's been very well proven that the best weed control in your lawn is a thick, healthy turf, and that means fertilizer, and I was going to say water, but I think I'm going to reject that one for a little while. And Kevin really does do a good job of explaining why perhaps we need to look at what's going on. Yeah, kill some weeds if you need to. Sometimes it's just, but think why they're there, and this is an excellent article about that. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Bob in Allen Park. Bob, welcome to the gardening show.
Yes, Dean. I'm wondering, I'm trying to put in a one or two shrubs, maybe with a lighter green and a dark green, that have some flowering during the season, you know, not just in a spring and so on.
Okay. And, of course, my mind is slipping a gear right here. I can see it, but that doesn't help me describe it. There's a range of them.
You know, I like the I have three spruce. Oh, what is that? All can't think of the first name now. Kind of a spruce. Starts with an A-L.
Yeah, dwarf Alberta spruce.
Yeah, you got that. And I like that softness on them, but I was hoping to get some sort of a shrub similar to that, but that also has, you know, flowers or so on.
Do you have, is there a lot of sun, Bob, or is it in a shady area?
Well, this would be on the east side, my backyard garden on the east. It gets the morning sun and so on.
Okay. You know, because, again, I got three in my mind, and I just can't get the name right now. Let me suggest one thing. Go to my website, WGR.com.
Oh, I don't have a computer, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, see if you can find somebody that does, because last week, and if you get into that site, you will find that Jesse Saylor was, if anybody is a Spartan that went through the horticulture program in the last 30 years, you knew Jesse because he was the one that you had to pass his plant ID course. And tens of thousands of them did. He was a great teacher. However, one of the great things he did and left as a legacy is a website. And I listed that last week. And if you can go, the best place, if you don't have a computer, do you have a library close to you?
Well, I can get somebody. I can get my daughter to do it.
Yeah. All right. Here's what I would do. Go into my last week's show, and if you get into the website, when you get into my webpage, you'll find it. Go into last week and look for the information Jesse Saylor's site, because what he's got it set up to do is that you put in all the plant characteristics, height, color, and all that, and it pops out with the list. Okay, background music means we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 or email me at wjr.com/thegardeningshow and I will get to your answer as soon as I possibly can. And speaking of shrubs and things like that, Ed in Britain emailed me about two mystery trees in his yard. He says, yeah, I didn't plant these, but he's trying to identify them. Ed, check my website again, and this week I'll put up, there's two sites up there to ID trees, both, one from the Arbor Day Foundation, the other from, it's an MSU document. I'll try the Arbor Day one first. It's a computer, the other one's sort of reading, but it's more complete. The other thing is, you know, a lot of times what you're dealing with is not a tree, it's a shrub. And okay, that is a technical differentiation that doesn't mean that much. But the ID keys that I've got up there are for trees, so you may miss one. So check out the shrub one I put in there too. If you can't ID the first two, try the third one, and it's classified as a shrub. Just means it's smaller. So check that out. And, of course, that's Ed from Britain. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Victoria in St. Clair Shores. Victoria, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thanks for taking my call, Dean. My friend and I, last year, we were at Easter Market, and there was a grower there with a yellow peony tree that he said was a rebloomer. And we didn't buy it at the time. But then I tried to call them. I took their card, and I never got a call back. So I called around. I called Regans, and a grower said there's no such thing as a rebloomer. And then my friend did some research on a website and found a yellow peony tree that if anyone was going to rebloom, it would have been that one. Have you heard of a reblooming peony tree?
You know, Victoria, no. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There are so many new cultivars and new breeding lines coming on. Like, you know, you're familiar with Proven Winners in that group. They bring on like 20 or 30 a year, so it's really hard for me to keep up unless you're a real specialist in that area. Knowing how peonies bloom and all that, I'm kind of shaking my head and saying, how could this happen? It's possible, I think. Do you remember what website your friend was using?
No, I don't. She ordered them. She ordered them from a nursery online, and they're coming in the fall. I guess they don't ship them out to you until the fall, and that's when they wanted you to drop them in. So.
Well, yeah, that'd be the ideal time to transplant and replant peonies is about end of August. So the timing on that's really good. Let me check. I'll do some looking, and you know, one of the great things I love about this program is I learn things too. I'm scratching my head. Botanically, it's possible, I think, but let me look on that. And I'll check my website, wjr.com/thegardeningshow, by Wednesday.
Okay.
And see if I can find something, because, boy, now I need to check. Okay.
Right.
Victoria,
okay.
I'm sorry I can't give you an answer, but I think it's really great. I appreciate you calling. This is going to be really interesting. Okay?
Thank you.
1-800-859-0957. Jeff in Port Huron emailed me, and he had saw they grow strawberries down there with under plastic. And he says he's trying it up here. Does it work? Yeah, it works really great. A lot of growers do it in Michigan. One of the things, though, Jeff, especially this year, you find is that they raise the bed. In other words, you dig it up and raise it high. There's two reasons for that, one of which is just to get it to warm up faster in the spring because the early give the berries as long a time to get going as possible. The second thing is to allow the excess water to drain out. And if you put plastic down just on a flat clay soil this year, your strawberries probably aren't doing too well. But if you raise them up so the excess water can drain out, it works very well. You do need to put an irrigation line underneath there. Just because you can't water them. And here's one of the interesting things that can happen, Jeff. Actually, you can get a lot of rain around that, and you look and you feel underneath your plastic, and it's dry. The rain doesn't soak in, obviously. It runs off. And then if it just doesn't soak into the ground and move back under the plastic, you can actually have plants wilting because they're too dry, and it's water all over the place. So hopefully your plants are growing well and the plastic is doing its job to keep the weeds down. And especially this year with all the rain, certainly under black plastic or any of those plastic covers, one of the real problems we have with strawberries right now is that the water is splashing soil and material up on the berries and they're starting to rot. That doesn't happen with the black plastic. So hopefully they're doing well. By the way, if you haven't done or picked a Michigan strawberry this season, go out. This has been an absolutely beautiful year. The problem is all the rain, and growers I'm talking to in the place I pick, they're starting to have some disease issues, and some slugs are getting in, and that's just because we can't control the rain. So if you haven't picked yet, quality is superb. This cool weather is just unbelievable good, but they are running into some problems. So if you're not out picking Michigan strawberries, you're missing a taste treat. They're absolutely wonderful. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Don in Troy, and then Shirley in Clarkston, stay on the line. You're up next. Don, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi. This is outstanding. I just happened to be driving home and tuned in.
Okay.
I just had a box elder removed from my backyard, and my backyard's pretty small.
Okay.
And my kids wanted to buy me a new tree. And
cool.
I thought, okay, I'll plant a maple or an oak or something like that. And then I thought, no, I want a cherry tree. Is that possible?
Do you want an ornamental cherry or a cherry that has
a fruit cherry tree.
Yeah, it's possible. You're going to need two on most of them, two different varieties, because many of the ones are not self-pollinating. You need to check that. Some of them are, some of them aren't. So check
apples,
that.
Right?
I'm sorry?
Is it same? That's the same with apples or peach
or
anything?
Yeah,
like that?
More with cherries, there's more of them that are self-fertile than apples. So read the cultivars, varieties, and things like that. And I will put on my website, WJR4.com/thegardeningshow, cherry varieties for the home garden. And take a look at that, and they'll tell you in there, you know, which ones need pollinators. You want, if it's a small yard, how much sun do you get, Don? Is it a sunny spot?
It's pretty sunny now that the box elder's down. Yeah,
okay,
it's almost
good.
Full sun.
Great.
Well, no, I'm sorry. It's not full. It's not sun in the morning, but south to west is sun.
About 6-8 hours of
at
sun?
Least, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's cool. That's enough. Get the dwarf trees.
Dwarf cherry?
Yeah, dwarf, because in a small yard, they only will get about 6 feet, 7 feet tall. And then you don't need a ladder to pick them. That's the other great thing about it.
Right.
The other thing is, when they took the box elder tree out, did they take the stump out too?
Yes.
Okay, they ground it.
There are still some ground roots because it was ridiculous. The ground roots.
Oh, you'll be fighting those for 2 years. Just mow them off.
I know.
Just mow them off. So that's not a problem. Okay, check my website after Wednesday usually. It's my fault, not the webmaster's fault. I just don't get her the information quick enough. But I'll put a cherry varieties for backyards on it.
I was thinking black cherry, but okay.
There are a couple.
Okay, where would I buy them? That's
now,
the main problem.
Okay, you're in Troy. You got a couple. You know, you got a really good nursery right up there close by you, a couple of them actually. Check with them to see if they're going to have some in this fall. But what I usually do is buy online or out of catalogs. And what you need to do is talk to or buy from a nursery that grows their plants north of us. In other words, New York, Wisconsin, Minnesota, that area. Not because the plants that you get grown down south are any high quality. There's a genetic quirk. The ones that we get from down south, because they've evolved down there a little bit more, are not as frost hardy.
Right.
So, and the Mueller's is the one that I buy from. They got bought out, I think, by Burpee, somebody like that, or Miller's Nursery. Check around. There's only about 2 or 3 nurseries left to do that kind of thing. You plant them, buy them. They'll come in the spring. The thing that you need to do is prepare the hole in the fall. In other words, dig it out, you know, do all the things that you suggested to do. And then in the spring, once the plants come in, you're all ready to go.
Wow. Okay.
It's not difficult. You'll enjoy them. You'll have, you know, 4 years, you probably have more cherries than you know what to do with. But that's not a bad thing either. Okay, Don?
No, that's great. That's great.
Hey, what a great gift from your children. I love that. Fantastic.
Appreciate it. Thanks
you
a
too.
Lot.
1-800-859-0957. I hope my daughters are listening. Hey, daughters, listen to this man. I could use some cherry trees. 1-800-859-0957 or email me at wjr.com/thegardeningshow. I got more to talk about. I hope I'll be talking to you. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 or email me. And Sue in Belleville, maybe all this rain is good because she emailed me. She's got some volunteer trees and shrubs that are showing up in her beds around the house. And what do I do with them? You know, one thing about it is all the rain we've been having, it sure makes it easier to pull weeds and shrub unwanted plants out. And the question then, Sue, is what do I do once I get them out of there? And mulch is one of my favorite choices of things to suggest. And there are all kinds. You can use the decorative mulches. You can use the pine barks, which I like. But one of the things is, especially if you've done a lot of pulling and you know, the ground is disturbed, so you know there's going to be some weed come back. Put three or four layers of newspaper down. That makes a very good barrier. It's wet. It allows water to move through. It's biodegradable, and it's really a good. It's cheap. You know, you can get it for free. And 3 or 4 layers, just and then once they're wet, they don't blow around or anything, and it certainly will help cut the weed regrowth back. And then if you don't like the way it looks, just put a decorative mulch on top. But I would suggest I really do like just plain old newspaper. You can use the woven weed barrier fabric from any of your local garden centers. That works too. Don't just use plastic sheets though, because that the water doesn't penetrate, and more importantly, the roots of the plants that are already there don't get enough oxygen. So sheet plastic doesn't work, but the other stuff does, and I like newspaper. Let's go to the lines. Let's go to Shirley in Clarkston. And then Terry in Ortonville, stay tuned because I'll be talking to you soon. Shirley, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, Dean. I have a quick question.
Sure.
Is there any update on downy mildew and whether or not regular patients will be ready again?
Yeah, there is. First of all, downy mildew is still here, and it will be. You know, the data is very, you know, it's in the soil and things like that. And many of us have just switched out of growing in patients altogether, and there's such a wide range of alternatives that, you know, that really has worked well for some people. However, there are certain sites and certain people that, you know, in patients are the best. Now, Dr. Mary Hausbeck at MSU, who is now, just to let everybody that knows Mary know, she's just been named a distinguished professor at MSU, and that is as good a high a compliment to an MSU faculty member as you can get. So she has superb career, and much of it has been related directly to home gardens and things like that and diseases that influence us. She has come up with a preventative spray program for commercial growers, in other words, the greenhouse producers, that in for the last 2 years has very pretty much eradicated downy mildew in patients on plants that were treated. Now, that's the catch. Not every grower probably in the state is doing it. So what does that mean if I'm just buying it from my local garden center? Well, check with whoever does the buying. They probably will know. They will know. The other thing is, I still kind of think, in my opinion, Shirley, that I don't think I'd ever recommend going back to the mass spray, mass plantings of patients. Certainly for certain areas, and especially small plantings where if they die, I can replant real quickly without a great loss, go for it. If you're planting a huge bed and that's got to be the showcase, I'd step back and make sure, you know, I buy plants from places that have certified that they followed Dr. Hausbeck's program to the letter, and it's very precise and it's very detailed. Or
that program's really not practical for a commercial grower because of the cost.
It is. It's the big guys. I hate to say it. It's the big guys that can do it. And they're doing it. So, you know, that's the way it goes. It's not cheap. My thought, again, why not try it for small areas? And I do love impatiens. There's some great varieties out there, good colors. But I'm not going to plant a huge bed. I'm still going to go with the alternatives because the downy mildew is still out there.
Okay.
Shirley? Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Terry in Ortonville. Terry, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing good. What's going on?
I got, I'll run down here. I got a couple acres of property. My lawn is about 30 years established, a lot of trees.
Okay.
And I got a lot of moss that's kind of taken over.
Sure.
And I went to the local farm supply, and they recommended Nutrisol, but it hasn't seemed to do anything.
Well, I think what you got to look at, Terry, is why is it there? And typically, you just given the reasons why. The trees grew.
All right.
It's shady. It's probably moist in certain areas, and that is the best way to grow moss and not grass that I can think of. So, what are your options? To be honest with you, probably the best option, if you really want to grow grass, is take some trees out.
Yeah, I like the trees.
I do, too. I got to say it, though. One of the things I really try to do, Terry, on this program is give you all options, and then you make your choices. But that's one of them. The other thing is, to be very honest with you, if you got a good certified arborist in there and a good crew, they could take out about 30% of the limbs out of a tree and you'd never notice it, but it would make a significant difference on the amount of light underneath. And that might be an option for you, too. The other one is, just say Mother Nature won on this, and I'm not going to grow grass in that area. Go with ground covers, mulches, something else, because grasses evolved in full sun with no competition. And when you put them under heavy trees, which have a lot of shade and are very good at absorbing nutrients and, more importantly, water, the grass can't compete. The other option that you've got is to go in with an annual ryegrass or something like that that you just, every spring you put it out, it looks good till about September and then it dies. You know,
the moss seems to be creeping out into the sunny areas also.
Yeah. Now, that used to be something that I thought was unusual, but the mosses around Michigan that I've been watching seem to have adapted. And many more of them you'll find in pure sand or pure sun. So you can, you know, why are they here? Well, something's changed. One of the things, though, that you could check, when's the last time did you have a soil test done in that area, Terry?
Never have.
That would be the first thing I'd start with. Check with, you know Wojo's there in Ortonville, right?
Oh, yes.
Go talk to Joe and see if he carries the MSU soil testing kit. I think it's $20. If not, you can order it from Michigan State online, msue.msu.edu. And I would start there just in case that, okay, maybe if we bump the fertility a little on the grass, it would grow more, be more aggressive, and crowd the moss out. But you really got to look at light levels and moisture levels there, Terry. If you've got a shady area, there's not much, you don't have a whole lot of options, not for grasses.
All right.
Okay, good luck with that, sir.
Okay, thank you much.
My pleasure. Sorry, sometimes I just got to give the bad news.
Yeah, I know it.
Well, hey, the other thing is, and I'm serious about this one, if you do have an arborist come in and see how much trimming they can do, many times 25 to 30% of the weight of the tree will come off, and you won't tell it. You look at that tree and say, they didn't do anything, except you'll notice the truckloads of wood go out. It's really healthier for the tree, too, because they thin it out so there's more light moving in the tree, less weight and on these windstorms we're having. Lots of good reasons to do that. So you might want to really consider that. That might be an approach, too, that you could have better, higher quality trees and more grass, too. That's
right.
A possibility.
So the Nutrisol really isn't going to solve my problem.
I think you need to go further than that. Many times, we were talking earlier, sometimes chemical approaches work and we're very useful, but we need to take a step back and look at the environmental conditions and say, why is this happening where it is? And I think
we've talked a little about that. In the last 30 years, the trees have really blossomed out and gotten bigger.
You know, we've owned our house, I think, 28 years. And there was a yew there that I didn't do anything back in the back that used to be up to my waist. I measured it the other day. It's at 26 feet.
Yep.
Yeah, things grow, don't they?
Oh, no doubt.
Good luck with that. And if you happen to see Joe, tell him hello for me, would you please?
I sure will.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go. Leanne from Northville. Email me, small green worms in webs on the mature burning bushes. I think, Leanne, it's Eastern Tent Caterpillar on my website, wjrf.com/thegardeningshow. Check about Wednesday. I put some information out there. It's usually in the crotch, between the main stem and the branch. And to be honest with you, if the plant is otherwise healthy, yeah, they'll eat some leaves and then, you know, they go away. One of the best ways to control these things, if you can get a stick or something, a pole, whatever, just open the web up because the web is protecting them from predators and birds and things like that. And many times you just rip that web apart and then the predators get at it and that solves your problem. One of the things that you can do is Bacillus thuringiensis, and its variety is BT Kurstaki. You need to spray the leaves, but I think it sounds like these worms are a little bit too big. They have to be about an inch long or less. Shouldn't be a major problem. Check the website or give me a call. 1-800-859-0957. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show. We'll be right back.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
You know, sometimes when a plant dies or something, we're wondering, okay, with the environment we're hearing about, then maybe bad issues with certain herbicides, and that it could be a toxic material. Susan with Rochester says, you know, is there a way to have it analyzed, a sample analyzed for a toxic material or not? Yeah, there's a lot of depends on this one, Susan. It depends on the material, if there is any toxic material at all, and it's kind of rare, actually. And the residue issues, it tends to be expensive, to be very honest with you. It can be very hard to do, depending on how long ago the symptoms, if there was a toxic material there, how long ago they were there and what happened to it. And it depends, again, on which one we're talking about. So chemical analysis is not as easy as it sounds at first crack. Typically, the process is that we would suggest using is the you look at the symptoms or have an expert look at the symptoms. Then you look at any surrounding areas perhaps that are showing the symptoms, the same thing, environmental issues that could be there, water standing. Lots of things can give you some really strange symptoms on plants. And the place I would start is with the Michigan State Plant Diagnostic Lab. And if you check my website, WGR.com/The Gardening Show. Last week I put up the URL for that, and I'll put it up again this week. Check with them first. Give them a call. As far as I know, they still don't charge for looking at photos if you want to take a couple of pictures and emailing them. Check with them. I think that's still an option. And then they'll talk about perhaps what samples you need to submit and things like that. So it's not like human medicine, where we can just do a blood sample and stuff and tell a tremendous amount of information. We're not at the technology, and obviously the biology is different. So check that out. You can look at it right now on my website. It was last week I listed it, but I'll list it again for you, Susan. So let's go to the lines. Let's go to Dennis in Royal Oak. So, Dennis, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Well, hi, Dean.
What's going on with your cherry tree?
Okay, I have a non-fruit-bearing ornamental cherry tree,
yep.
And I'm blind, so my wife kind of told me what's going on with it.
All right.
What happened this spring is at the top of the tree, we had some branches that did not bloom, did not get blooms on them.
All right.
And then right underneath the drip line, there started to be some growth out from the tree. Well, then I also looked and felt and noticed that the bark was splitting.
Right.
I talked to the extension service, and they thought it was a thing called frostbite, where the frost on the north side of the tree,
yep.
The sun hits it, it melts, and then it freezes, and it causes the bark to crack.
Possible.
So they suggested going and pruning off the dead limbs, which I have done.
Right.
I'm wondering, is there anything else? They said they doubted that it was diseased. They couldn't say for sure, but they had some doubt that it would be diseased. The tree is about 6 years old.
Okay.
What else could I do or can I do?
Well,
should I feed it or?
Okay, let me ask a quick question, Dennis. When you felt the branch and where that crack was the branch horizontal or vertical? Was it in line with the trunk of the tree or across the trunk of the tree?
I would say it was across the trunk of the tree.
All right. That's which side of the tree
It would have been like on the northwest, what I would consider the northwest side of the tree.
All right. I'm not arguing a diagnosis. I have questions. Typically, what you see with frost cracks is that they're horizontal. They follow the line of the tree, and that's just because the way the wood splits or wood grows.
Right, they would be horizontal. I think.
All right, check that out, and that would be the first thing I'd be thinking about. So, frost cracks are with cherry or any thin wooded or bark tree is always a possibility. And last winter we did have a few sunny days, so it's very possible. Usually it's on the southeast or southwest side, and you get that vertical crack. Now, usually they don't kill the tree. It just looks bad, although it could. Now, a couple other possibilities. We lost a lot of cherry trees last year, and that's not unusual. Talk to any of the commercial growers. They lost trees, and it was just because of the cold and the stress and all the other things that happen. So one of the other possibilities is that you're just seeing freeze damage, which would be more the way I would go with it. Now, when you say there's shoots coming out, where are they coming from? When you feel down the trunk,
They're coming out like the side of the trunk. You'll have your drip line, which would be the very most bottom branch, if you will.
And below that?
they're coming out below that.
Okay, when you feel that trunk, you should. I assume these are grafted trees or a grafted tree, and you can feel a big bump in the trunk. Just in, okay. Are these shoots coming out below that bump by any chance?
You know, I didn't notice the bumps
well,
on the trunk.
Go out when you get a chance to, and it stops raining. Go out and just feel down, and if you feel a bump there, that's where the graft union is.
Okay.
And if the shoots are coming out below that, take those off. That's the understock, and that's not going to be a tree, that, a flowering plant that you want. There are branches, live branches above that area, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, take
that.
And
what I did is I pruned out the dead branches that didn't have anything.
Okay. Prune it out.
I did that at the top and at the bottom. And when I pruned them out, I noticed they were dead. They were brittle. They broke very easily.
When you're pruning, was your wife there with you, or were you doing it by yourself?
No, she was there with me, so she could point out which ones they
were.
Did
she notice that if the cambium layer, which is that green layer underneath the bark, was green, did she notice that it was there or not? Did you remember?
No, but I did notice that where I didn't prune all the way to the trunk.
Right.
But I pruned, I left a little bit, so there's like a little bump or a little nodule where I pruned out.
That's good. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Ask your wife to go out and run her thumbnail along that branch and just work down the trunk on some of the branches that are looking a little iffy. And see if that cambium layer is there. It'd be green, it'll be moist. And it should be, you know, just run her thumbnail over it, and she should be able to see it real easily. If she does, that branch still has, you have hope for that, and I just let it recover. The other thing is that you might need to do, because did you top the tree? Did you have to take the top branches out?
No, just a few near
All
the
right.
top.
I would just wait and do nothing. Fertilization now is probably too, I don't want any fertilizing now, because if we overdo it, then they don't harden off in the fall, and then you really do get winter damage.
Right. Before I noticed the damage, I did feed it very early.
Well, that's usually it's not a problem. I would just wait and keep your fingers crossed on this one. Check to see about that cambium layer. Dennis,
I'll tell you that, and I really hate to lose the tree. We got it from the city of Royal Oak when we had another tree taken down, and it was crooked, and I said, I'm not going to give up on it. This baby's going to be okay.
Good.
I put it in, and that thing is just grown straight.
Take those suckers out below the graft unit, Dennis. So we've got to go. So Sandra and Bad Axe, Matt and Fenton, and Phil and Sterling Heights, stay on the line. We're going to go. Background music means that I'm out of here for another week, and I have no idea where the time went. Sandra and Bad Axe, Matt and Fenton, Phil and Sterling Heights, do not hang up, because I will talk to you off the air. Have a fantastic week. The Gardening Show will be back in a week.